This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Monday, December 12, 2016. Coming up this hour,
oil prices soar as Russia and other non-OPEC producers agree to join in an output cut.
We speak to Russia's energy minister about the deal from Vienna.
Energy stocks gain on the prospect of even higher oil prices.
But Goldman says those gains may be short-lived as U.S. shale producers boost production.
Donald Trump's top pick for Secretary of State could face opposition before he's even announced, and China reacts to the president-elect's latest rhetoric. I'm Nathan Hager. Those stories and more coming up.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Big win for the Giants. They ended the Cowboys' long winning streak. The Jets came from behind to win in overtime at San Francisco. Knicks beat the Lakers. Rangers shut out the Devils.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 991 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak being brought to you by J.P. Morgan Funds. Building stronger portfolios by sharing expertise, insights, and a breadth of solutions across all asset classes. JPMorganFunds.com. Let's solve it. J.P. Morgan Distribution Services Incorporated.
And it's now 6:01 on Wall Street. We'll check the markets for you every 15 minutes throughout the trading day here on Bloomberg Radio. S&P E-mini futures are currently down not quite 2 points, not quite a tenth of 1%. Dow E-minis higher by 8 points. NASDAQ E-mini futures down by 23 points. In Europe, London's FTSE is down by 0.2%. The CAC in Paris virtually unchanged. The DAX in Frankfurt is down not quite 0.25%. Tokyo's Nikkei closed higher by 0.8%. 10-year Treasury prices are down 11/32. The yield at 2.5078. The 2-year yield at 1.1452. COMEX gold prices are down 0.5% this morning, $5.70 an ounce to $11.5620. The pound is trading at $1.2594. The euro at $1.0608. And the yen at $1.1584.
Oil this morning jumping to the highest level since July of last year after non-OPEC countries agreed to curb output following a meeting in Vienna. Also adding to those gains is Saudi Arabia, signaling it will cut output more than previously agreed to. Russia is perhaps the most prominent of the non-OPEC countries agreeing to cut production. Russian Energy Minister Alexander Novak spoke with Bloomberg following the deal.
I was very pleasantly surprised to see so many countries respond to the invitation by OPEC and Russia to participate in this deal to help stabilize the market. I would have to say that most of the countries which joined, and it's very important to say that they joined voluntarily, so nobody's going to force them to reduce production, it's their own will. And most of these countries, they would be taking active measures to reduce production, and that's very important.
That's the Russian Energy Minister, Alexander Novak, speaking to Bloomberg in Vienna. Oil prices have surged this morning. West Texas Intermediate up $2.38. That's up 4.5% at $53.88. Brent crude right now, $2.32 a barrel. That's up 4.3% at $56.65.
Also out of Vienna, we're hearing from Mexico's Deputy Energy Minister, Dr. Alta Flores. He weighed in on reports of ExxonMobil Chief Executive Rex Tillerson being President-elect Donald Trump's top choice for Secretary of State.
Rex is a widely respected figure in the oil industry. He has done much to develop the company he has worked for, and he's a true professional. So he's very well regarded. He's also a friend of Mexico.
Mexico Deputy Energy Minister Dr. Aldo Flores. Russia is also expressing optimism over the proposed the prospect of Rex Tillerson serving as Mr. Trump's Secretary of State. However, that could make it tough for him to win confirmation, with senators such as Marco Rubio and John McCain expressing concern over the possible appointment.
Meanwhile, Goldman Sachs' U.S. shale producers will likely respond to OPEC cuts with an increase in output next year. Goldman says crude may rise to about $60 a barrel if the agreement to curb production holds, but the firm goes on to say prices could then fall to about $55 a barrel once U.S. shale producers boost their output.
The trading day is underway in Europe, and we're seeing energy stocks move higher. Bloomberg's Matt Miller joins us live now from our Berlin bureau with the details. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Bob. Yeah, European stocks down a little bit. The stock 600 down about 0.4% right now, trimming some of the gains that we saw, big gains last week. Real estate stocks are underperforming. Travel and leisure stocks are down. And as you mentioned, oil and gas producers are surging with the price of crude. The FTSE right now is off about 0.3%, almost at 69.34. The CAC down a little less than 0.1% at 47.62, and the DAX down about 0.3% at 11,172. As far as currencies are concerned, the euro right now continuing to gain some strength this morning after falling earlier at 106.08 versus the dollar. The British pound right now trading at 125.92 versus the dollar. And just in case you are wondering about the fixed income markets, we do see British gilts right now trading at 1.489%, and the German Bund climbing in yield as it gets sold off at 0.403%. Bob and John?
All right. Thanks, Matt. Meanwhile, in Asia, stocks began the day higher, but then reversed those gains, ultimately ending the day lower. Bloomberg's Juliet Sully has all the details from our Hong Kong bureau.
Chinese stocks fell the most since June, the Shanghai Composite closing lower by 2.5% as concerns about the nation's property market reemerged. China Vanke's president predicted home sales in China will drop significantly in the next year, leading to not only a sell-off of property stocks, but also home appliance shares in Shanghai, Shenzhen and Hong Kong. A rally in Australian energy players wasn't enough to boost the ASX 200 in Sydney. It closed flat. However, Japanese stocks held on to 2016 highs as the yen fluctuated against the dollar, boosting exporters. Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Thank you, Juliet. Once again, S&P E-mini futures are down 2 points, not quite a tenth of 1%. Dow E-mini futures up 6 points, and NASDAQ E-mini futures are down by 23 points. In Europe, London's FTSE is down 0.25%. The CAC in Paris is unchanged. The DAX in Frankfurt is down 0.25% as well. The 10-year Treasury down 11/32. The yield at 2.5097. And the 2-year yield at 1.1452. Stay with us for the latest in world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
At 6:07 on Wall Street, this hour of Bloomberg Daybreak being brought to you by Volvo Cars White Plains. Visit VolvoCarsWhitePlains.com. Let's get news from around the world this morning. And here is Nathan Hager.
John, he hasn't made his decision official yet, but President-elect Donald Trump has nothing but good things to say about ExxonMobil CEO Rex Tillerson as a potential Secretary of State. On Fox News Sunday, Trump calls Tillerson a world-class player.
He's in charge of, I guess, the largest company in the world. He's in charge of an oil company that's pretty much double the size of his next nearest competitor.
But Tillerson could face a rough confirmation fight over his ties to Russian President Vladimir Putin. Republican Senator Marco Rubio tweeted over the weekend, quote, being a friend of Vladimir is not an attribute I'm hoping for from a hashtag Secretary of State, end quote. Armed Services Chairman John McCain tells Fox News Putin is a thug, a bully, and a murderer. President-elect Trump also talked about his call with the president of Taiwan once again in that Fox News Sunday interview.
I don't want China dictating to me, and this was a call put into me. I didn't make the call, and it was a call, very short call, saying congratulations, sir, on the victory. It was a very nice call.
And he said the U.S. would only be bound by the one China policy if it can reach an agreement with Beijing on trade. That is eliciting a strong reaction within China.
We did see some commentary in the state media calling Trump a novice, also saying that he was fickle and may well go back on his word. We also know that the one China policy is non-negotiable from Beijing's perspective. They are very unlikely to budge on this. It is a red line for them.
Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie in Beijing. A Chinese foreign ministry spokesman says one China is the political bedrock of U.S. relations. He's urging the U.S. to deal with the Taiwan issue prudently. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie reportedly turned down a number of positions in the Trump cabinet because he wasn't offered attorney general. NJ.com reports Christie said no to being Secretary of Homeland Security and Veterans Affairs. He's also said to have turned down being U.S. ambassador to Italy. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Nathan. Coming up on 610 of Wall Street Now with a Bloomberg NBC Sports update, here's John Stashower.
John, it was a tight game at MetLife Stadium. Both the Giants and Cowboys had exactly 260 yards of offense. First downs were 13-12. Both teams had three turnovers. Time of possession separated by just 1 minute. The difference in the game, one big play.
On the left hash, Eli Manning from the shotgun sets the throw, a slant. Beckham's got it on the run at midfield. Breaks the tackle at the 40, off to the races. Veering right to the 30, to the 20. High stepping at the 10 and into the end zone for the touchdown to give the Giants the lead. 9-7, New York with the lead. 107 to go in the third. On the catch and sprint by Beckham, 61 yards.
Westwood One had the call. The vastly improved Giants defense did the rest, became the first team to beat Dallas since they did it back in week one. It was 10-7. They're still two games behind Dallas, but they do own the tiebreaker, having swept the season series. Even the Jets won. Despite trailing by two touchdowns, they rallied to force overtime, and then Bilal Powell, who had a big day, won it for the Jets, 23-17 at San Francisco to end a four-game losing streak, makes the new starting QB Bryce Petty a winner for the first time. 49ers have lost 12 in a row. Knicks are 2-0 out west, beat the Lakers 118-112 with Kristaps Porzingis scoring 26 points. He had 12 rebounds, 7 block shots. Derrick Rose, back from missing two games, scored 25. Knicks are tied for third in the East. At the Garden, all Rangers, 5-0 over the Devils. Antti Raanta, 19 saves, his second straight shutout. Blue Shirts move into first place. College hoops in Brooklyn, LIU beat St. John, 74-73. Iverson Fleming, 21 points in the game-winning basket. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, thanks, John. Let's take a look at the bond market right now. A lot of focus this morning. The 10-year yield, the 10-year benchmark yield in the U.S. right now is at 2.5078%. Take it up more than a few decimal points there. It topped 2.5% earlier this morning for the first time since October of 2014. This gain in the yield comes ahead of this week's Federal Reserve Open Market Committee meeting. Fed funds futures currently show a 100% chance of a rate hike on Wednesday. And traders see a 2 in 3 odds of additional tightening by June. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by Benzel Busch. The Mercedes-Benz winter event is now for the best values of the year. Hurry, offer ends soon. Benzel Busch is America's premier automotive dealership in Englewood, New Jersey.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon at Bloomberg World Headquarters. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Norton from Symantec. To help protect you in a changing digital world, Norton plans to join forces with LifeLock. When combined, they will redefine digital safety and help you gain control of your privacy, security, and identity. It is 6:17 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines from Maggie Day at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Maggie.
Good morning, Bob. Oil is surging this morning after Saudi Arabia said it's ready to deliver deeper production cuts. Non-OPEC members from Mexico to Oman also pledged to curb output by a combined 558,000 barrels a day. Boeing is selling $16.6 billion of planes to Iran. It's the first multi-billion-dollar contract for a U.S. company in Iran since the 1979 revolution. In economic news this Wednesday, the Fed is poised to hike rates for the first time in a year. Meanwhile, retail sales data due out the same day are forecast to rise by 0.3% in November. And in entertainment news, early reaction to the first screening of the upcoming Star Wars movie has been mostly positive on Twitter. People who attended the premiere in Hollywood on Friday took to social media to sing its praises. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Bob?
Thank you very much, Maggie. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Nathan Hager with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Nathan.
Good morning. Some powerful senators are lining up against President-elect Donald Trump's reported top choice for Secretary of State before he's even announced. Republican Senator Marco Rubio sits on the committee that would confirm ExxonMobil CEO Rex Tillerson. He tweeted over the weekend, being a friend of Vladimir, as in Putin, is not an attribute he was hoping for. Pakistan International Airlines says it has grounded all small aircraft in its fleet after last week's plane crash that killed all 47 on board. Officials have said an engine failed on the ATR-20. airplane prop on its way from the mountain resort of Chitral to Islamabad. It crashed into a hillside village. Sunday in the NFL, the Giants snapped the Cowboys' 11-game winning streak. The Jets get past the 49ers in overtime, and the Redskins beat the Eagles in Philadelphia. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Intelligence. Valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
And good morning, I'm John Tucker, 620 on Wall Street. Let's shift our focus to Europe this morning, specifically Italy. Maxine Spahi, Bloomberg Intelligence Economist, joining us from London this morning. And the new Prime Minister of Italy certainly has his work cut out for him. Maxime, I don't know where to start. Let's start with his name, Paolo Gentiloni.
Gentiloni. Yes, exactly. Paolo Gentiloni, so he was actually the foreign minister in Renzi's cabinet. He has been asked by the president, Mattarella, to form a new government this week. So this is something that's going to happen probably over the next days. He's got some parliamentary support because he's from Renzi's party. And he's some kind of emergency prime minister because he has to deal with a banking crisis and also to come up with a new electoral law over the next months.
We know that he's got foreign policy experience. What kind of domestic policy experience does he have?
Well, he has been ministers for in many cabinets, so he's somebody that has been around for a while, so he knows the inside outs of the Italian politics. He's also a veteran of Renzi's Democratic Party, so he's somebody widely respected, I would say, in Italy.
The bond markets there, how have they responded? Is there a vote of confidence, can we say?
Well, actually, if you look at the spread with Germany, the 10-year yield in Italy is actually narrowing. The spread is narrowing. Italy is proving that it can actually handle political turbulences. And this is, I would say, good news for the euro area's third largest economy.
What's the first thing that comes to the fore for him? He's got to deal with the banking crisis, I would imagine. And how does he do that?
Exactly. So actually, somebody else, Padoan, which is the finance minister, was also in discussion to be the new prime minister, but they prefer him to have him at the finance ministry because he has to deal with the banking rescue. Actually, there's a bank in Italy, the third largest one, Monte dei Paschi di Siena, which is trying to raise funds, is struggling with that in the current market environment. And the state might have to step in at one point. The deadline for the fundraising is December 31st.
Okay, so we're talking about recapitalizing the banks. How is that plan on track?
We have little information so far, but the thing we have to know is that the new European rules ban any direct state intervention, any bailout without some formal bail-in. So that means some losses have to be imposed on both the bond and the stockholders. And the problem in Italy is that many bondholders are actually Italian households. So now you get how politically tricky the situation is for the new prime minister.
The meeting last week from Mario Draghi and the European Central Bank, did that give a good deal of confidence to investors at this point that the ECB is going to be there to backstop Italy? What's the situation?
Well, there's a lot of backstops before the ECB actually has to step in there. But the message from Draghi last week was that basically the ECB will still be around in the markets for at least one more year, notwithstanding the whole political decisions. You have three more elections coming next year, probably Italy too, but you have in the Netherlands and France and Germany. So Draghi's message is the ECB is watching, the ECB is still in the background for at least one more year.
Could we have called that a taper with a small T last week? I don't mean to split hairs, but at least it seems that the market took it that way.
I'm not so sure because actually the ECB, so they're going for longer but smaller, so it's difficult to translate that. Draghi answered the question. He said basically tapering would be having a plan to come back with purchase to zero. It's not the case right now. The program is still open-ended, and they just reduced the pace from 80 to 60 billion a month.
Hey, what else are you focused on this week?
This week, obviously, the FOMC on the other side of the Atlantic. But there's also EU summit later this week, and this could be actually the inauguration summit for the new Italian prime minister.
Since you brought up the FOMC this week and we were talking about the yields, is that the big focus for investors, the yield differentials between Europe and the U.S.?
Well, yeah, we know that, for example, if you look at the FX market, we know that the euro dollar is reacting to the difference in the 2-year swap rate between the two countries. We've seen the euro actually going down versus the dollar over the last days. So obviously this is something that investors will be looking at when the FOMC meets next week.
Thanks, Maxime. Maxime Spahi from Bloomberg Intelligence, providing unique real-time research and context on industries and all the market and government factors that impact business. Terminal customers access this function at BIGO. At Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by New York Community Bank. Ask about their My Community Interest Checking with free New York Community Bank online and mobile banking. Earn more, get more. Visit nycb.com for details.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston, Bloomberg 1200, to San Francisco, Bloomberg 960, to the country, Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm John Tucker. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Oil rose to the highest level since July 2015 after Saudi Arabia signaled it's ready to cut output more than the amount agreed earlier in talks. And at the same time, non-OPEC countries, including Russia and Mexico, have pledged to cut production by almost 600,000 barrels a day, strengthening the coordinated commitment by the world's largest producers to tighten supply.
Meantime, Goldman Sachs says U.S. shale producers will likely respond to those cuts with an increase in output next year. Goldman says crude may rise to about $60 a barrel if the agreement to curb production holds, but the firm goes on to say prices could then fall to about $55 a barrel due to U.S. shale producers boosting output. Checking oil right now, West Texas Intermediate crude is up 4%, that is $2.03 a barrel, to $53.53. Brent crude down is up by 3.8%, that is $2 a barrel, to $56.41.
And meanwhile, in M&A news, executives from Sky and 21st Century Fox had a busy weekend holding talks on a proposed deal announced Friday. Bloomberg's Susanna Palmer has details.
The executives are said to have worked through the weekend with their advisors to nail down final terms of a $14.1 billion deal that would consolidate Rupert Murdoch's television empire across two continents. People familiar with the situation say Fox's co-chairman, Rupert, and his son, Lachlan, have been involved in discussions to purchase the 61% of UK pay TV service Sky that Fox doesn't already own. Representatives of Sky and Fox declined to comment. Susanna Palmer, Bloomberg Radio.
Bill Gates and more than a dozen of the world's wealthiest individuals revealed a new $1 billion investment fund yesterday, dubbed Breakthrough Energy Ventures. The 20-year fund will pump money into risky long-term energy technology that could dramatically reduce greenhouse gas emissions.
And time now for the Bloomberg Volatility Index report, being brought to you by CBOE VIX Options and Futures. Volatility can be harnessed with CBOE VIX Options and Futures. See disclosures, learn more at cboe.com/powerfuloutcomesvix. The VIX fell 7% on Friday to close at 1175. And separately, in today's extended morning trading, VIX futures right now are up 3.6% at 12.18. And that is this morning's Bloomberg Volatility Report.
And S&P E-mini futures are currently down a single point. Dow E-minis up by 9 points. NASDAQ E-mini futures down by 22 points. This is Bloomberg.
Yeah, 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update being brought to you by Benzel Busch. The Mercedes-Benz winter event is now for the best values of the year. Hurry, offer ends soon. Benzel Busch is America's premier automotive dealership in Englewood, New Jersey. Let's get news from around the world this morning. Here's Nathan Hager.
John, Donald Trump says there's no way the Russians could have influenced what he calls his landslide victory. In an interview with Fox News Sunday, the president-elect once again dismissed U.S. intelligence that blames Russia for trying to undermine the election and help him win.
Hacking is very interesting.
Once they hack, if you don't catch them in the act, you're not going to catch them. They have no idea if it's Russia or China or somebody. It could be somebody sitting in a bed someplace.
Over the weekend, four top Republican and Democratic senators put out a statement calling for a congressional investigation into Russian interference. Meantime, the head of the Republican Party in Illinois says it heard from the FBI that its emails may have been hacked months before the election. The Chicago Tribune reports party officials later found some of those emails on a website reportedly tied to Russian military intelligence. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says he looks forward to working with President-elect Trump.
I think his attitude, his support for Israel is clear. He feels very warmly about the Jewish state, about the Jewish people, and about Jewish people. There's no question about that.
Speaking to CBS's 60 Minutes, the Israeli premier says he'll talk about dismantling the Iran nuclear deal when Trump takes office. He says that deal has brought Israel closer with moderate Arab states. Outgoing Defense Secretary Ash Carter is in Israel this morning as it receives its first two F-35 fighter jets. The F-35 is the Pentagon's most expensive weapons program. It's estimated at nearly $400 billion. Israel is one of a few U.S. allies to get it. And Italy's outgoing foreign minister now has a mandate to form a new government with his old boss Matteo Renzi out of office. But Paolo Gentiloni may end up just keeping the seat warm for Renzi. That's because he wants early elections next year. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg, John.
All right, thanks, Nathan. Coming up on 6:36 of Wall Street, time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
John, still going to be hard for the Giants to win the NFC East. Two games behind the Cowboys, only three games left, but they do own the tiebreaker. They went 2-0 versus Dallas, who's 11-0 against everyone else. The Cowboys' winning streak came to an end because the Giants became the first defense really all year to make Dak Prescott look like a rookie quarterback. He was only 17 of 37, two interceptions. That's as many as he had thrown all season. Eli Manning had a pick and two fumbles, but he hooked up with Odell Beckham. 61 yards, catch and run, late third quarter for the Giants' only touchdown. They won 10-7, even if they don't catch the Cowboys. Giants have the wild card lead. Jets were underdogs against a 49er team that hasn't won since week one. Sure enough, Bryce Petty's first pass was intercepted, and the Jets trailed by two touchdowns, but they rallied back, and then in overtime.
Petty in the pistol, Bilal Powell just behind him. He takes the snap, gives to Bilal Powell, who runs left, gets to the 15, at the 10, at the 5, to the end zone! There's a flag down. Bilal Powell is into the end zone for a touchdown. That would end the game, and it looks as if it will end the game. San Francisco, I believe, was offside. The Jets are going to win it.
23-17, Jets radio. It ends a four-game losing streak. Big day for Powell. 29 carries, 145 yards. Carlos Hyde ran for 193 yards for the 49ers, who are now 1-12. On a night when Carmelo Anthony shot just 4 of 16, he did have 8 rebounds, 7 assists, and with Kristaps Porzingis and Derrick Rose combining for 51 points, Knicks beat the Lakers in L.A. 118-112. Rangers gave Henrik Lundqvist a night off. Second straight shutout for the backup, Antti Raanta. 5-0 at the Garden over the Devils. Five different Ranger goal scores. LIU beat St. John's 74-73. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, thanks, John. Republicans are vowing to repeal and replace the Affordable Care Act, but there is concern about people who might be affected during the transition. Nancy Lyons reports for the Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom.
Amending the existing Affordable Care Act is not one of the Republican options, but a replacement bill is far from ready. And Bloomberg BNA's Jonathan Nicholson says the party cannot reach a consensus on how quickly to move. If you ask House Speaker Paul Ryan, he's intentionally vague about the transition.
He said that it was premature, was the word he used, to say how long the transition period there would be between Republicans repealing the Affordable Care Act and them putting into place something new reflecting their ideas about how to best do health care reform.
Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Andy, it is now 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is from Bloomberg View, the opinion section of Bloomberg.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. In a speech last year, Chancellor Angela Merkel said Germany, quote, wherever legally possible, ought to ban veils that cover the face. Her audience cheered, but That only confirmed Merkel's mistake. Pandering to grievances, real or imagined, rarely works. Usually, it inflames such feelings and makes matters worse. There's no denying the stresses caused by the recent wave of refugees in Germany. Successful immigration requires absorption and assimilation, and that's a challenge when the influx is large or abrupt. Merkel had earlier announced something close to an open-door policy. The backlash was predictable. Now elections are coming up, and Merkel wants to deny support to the anti-immigrant far-right AfD party. Yet the effect of her statement is to convey sympathy with the anti-immigrant movement worldwide. Instead, she should say that future inflows of immigrants will be regulated more cautiously and managed with adequate resources. Merkel has been a strong and compassionate leader of Germany and the EU, which makes it all the more disappointing to see her respond to anti-Muslim sentiment this way. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. For more View, please go to BloombergView.com or ViewGo on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
Time now for the Bloomberg Green Report. And here's Bob Moon.
A year ago on the Fox News Channel, he suggested global warming was a hoax.
I think it's a big scam for a lot of people to make a lot of money.
Now, President-elect Donald Trump says he's open-minded. And speaking on Fox News Sunday, he said he's studying whether the country should withdraw from the global warming accord reached last year in Paris.
I'm somebody that gets it. And nobody really knows. It's not something that's so hard and fast. I do know this. Other countries are eating our lunch.
Trump complained that President Obama's moves to reduce greenhouse gas emissions have hurt America's competitiveness with other countries.
They don't wait 10 years to get an approval to build a plant, okay? They build it like the following day or the following week.
While Trump suggests nobody really knows whether climate change is real, there is broad agreement among scientists that human activity is indeed driving the recent warming of the planet. They expect 2016 to be the hottest year since record-keeping began in 1880. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, thanks, Bob. Ahead of the market open on Wall Street, S&P futures 2 points lower. The Dow futures up 6. NASDAQ E-mini futures right now 22 points lower. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg View was brought to you by Willoughby's since 1898, New York City's boutique camera store for precision-crafted Hasselblad and Leica cameras. Plus, a full selection of GoPro action-adventure cameras. Willoughby's, corner of Fifth Avenue at 31st Street.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Good morning to you. I'm Bob Moon at Bloomberg World Headquarters with this Bloomberg Radio Business Flash. And we switch right over to First Word Breaking News Desk now for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney.
Hey, good morning, Bob. The Dow and S&P futures are a little changed today. Well, the Nasdaq futures dropped 21. Dow futures are higher by 12 points, while the S&P futures are down 1. The U.S. 10 yield at 2.5%, and WTI crude futures gained 4%. Shanghai fell 2.5% overnight. Well, Europe is trading mostly lower today, but note that Italy is up by 1.1%. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 2 p.m. monthly budget statement. And in other news, Purdue Pharma CEO said is not interested in buying DepoMed. And finally, some of the key Wall Street upgrades and downgrades. NVR raised to buy over at Bank of America. CF Industries cut to equal weight at Barclays. AIG raised to outperform at BMO. And at Goldman Sachs, FMC Corp and WR Grace raised to buy. Huntsman was cut to neutral. And Cooper Companies raised to outperform over at Wells Fargo. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Bob?
Bill, thanks very much. And again, West Texas Intermediate crude and Brent crude, both higher by around 4% this morning. WTI at $53.57 a barrel, Brent crude at $56.43. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk Go on your terminal. Now, with more on what's going on around the world, here's Nathan Hager.
Good morning. China's foreign ministry says it has serious concern about President-elect Donald Trump's latest comments about Taiwan. In an interview with Fox News Sunday, The president-elect said his support for the One China policy would hinge on cutting a better deal on trade with Beijing. Islamic State has recaptured the ancient city of Palmyra from Syrian troops. The extremist group appears to be taking advantage of Syria's and Russia's focus on retaking Aleppo. The Syrian military's media arm says the army is now in control of 98% of that city. In sports, the Knicks top the Lakers on the NBA hardwood. Celtics lose to the Thunder. Warriors beat the Timberwolves. And on NHL ice, the Rangers shut out the Devils and the Capitals blank the Canucks. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.
The following is from Bloomberg View. Opinions and commentary from Bloomberg columnists.
I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg View. If Goldman Sachs President Gary Cohn does in fact become director of the National Economic Council in the Trump White House, there will have been as many former top Goldman executives in that post as PhD economists. Bill Clinton created the council in 1993 and named former Goldman co-chairman Bob Rubin as its first director. 9 years later, George W. Bush put Rubin's partner in running Goldman, Steve Friedman, in charge. It's a very Goldman-y sort of job, it appears, as are all sorts of top government jobs. In the throes of the financial crisis, it was hard to imagine that the Goldman to Washington pipeline could continue. But while Barack Obama leaned more toward Google than Goldman Sachs, he still appointed a Goldman alum as head of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. Now, with Cohn in the White House and former Goldman partner Steve Mnuchin at Treasury, Trump will have Goldman alumni in what may be the two most important economic policy jobs in his administration. So government Sachs is back. Or maybe it never went away. This is testament to the interest in public service that the firm seems to inculcate in its partners. But it's also kind of creepy and profoundly at odds with the populist message of Trump's campaign. I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg View. For more Bloomberg opinion and commentary, please go to BloombergView.com or View Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by WeatherTech, car mats, and floor liners. Now it's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report with John Tucker.
4 years ago, Neil Hoffman left his executive job at Hasbro to become a small business owner. Bloomberg's Matt Townsend says the journey began with a shopping trip during the holidays.
Yeah, it was just a spur-of-the-moment thing. He was shopping with his son, actually, in a department store, and his son saw Elf on a Shelf, which is a popular Christmas toy plaything, and said, "Dad, I want one of those." And he said, "No, man, you're Jewish. You can have a mensch on a bench." It just kind of popped out of his mouth, and he said, "Huh, maybe there's something to that."
He filed a trademark and spent $300 to get a logo and a sketch made. He came up with a story in which the mensch watches over the menorah and has to be moved each night or else he gets a sore. A Kickstarter campaign in March 2013 raised $22,000. He put in an additional $10,000 to get the first 1,000 dolls made in China. This year, he's introducing new characters. They include Hannah, the Hanukkah hero. That's the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Yeah, time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories on our nation's capital include President-elect Donald Trump meeting with former Republican presidential primary rival Carly Fiorina. Bloomberg government holding a webinar on the federal government's plans to enhance national cybersecurity. And Mr. Trump making waves with a name being floated as the frontrunner for the position of Secretary of State. ExxonMobil CEO Rex Tillerson. On Fox News Sunday, Trump touted Tillerson's business experience.
I mean, he's a world-class player. He's in charge of, I guess, the largest company in the world. He's in charge of an oil company that's pretty much double the size of his next nearest competitor. It's been a company that's been unbelievably managed. And to me, a great advantage is he knows many of the players.
And joining us now with more on this story is Bloomberg politics reporter, our own mensch, Kevin Cirilli. Kevin, you can't say that Rex Tillerson doesn't have experience dealing with foreign countries.
Well, exactly. And I think that's perhaps some of the strengths that the Trump transition officials that I'm speaking with are pointing to. What also is interesting is that he is somewhat, Donald Trump on the campaign trail would frequently say that his involvement in the Middle East and in going after Middle Eastern countries would include, quote unquote, taking the oil. So why not appoint a oil executive? But clearly this is drawing some criticism already here on Capitol Hill over the week. weekend. We had criticism from Senator John McCain as well as Senator Marco Rubio for his alleged ties to Russia, raising some concerns. And, of course, that comes as Democrats are pouncing on this pick. But we'll have to wait and see. The timeline for the pick, I'm hearing, will be this week.
Is we say he's the front runner right now. What happened to Mitt Romney? I mean,
it's like everybody's been a front runner. I mean, this is in true classic Trump design. This is very similar to when he selected a vice president running mate. Of course, he ultimately went with Mike Pence. But, you know, with this, we have people like Mitt Romney, people like David Petraeus, and all of whom have been voted to the top of the list. I think that he is getting a look right now. I think that the Trump transition team wants to see how folks are going to react. Of course, when Romney was the alleged front runner, critics from the more conservative base of the Republican Party pounced on that. And now you're seeing criticism from folks like John McCain. So, you know, a lot going on, a lot happening over the weekend. And, you know, this will play itself out, but this is the pick that everybody wants to know who he'll select.
Yeah, if there's one overriding theme to all these picks, it sounds like it's very, very pro-business.
True, and that's a great point. And I think when you look at whom he has selected for Treasury Secretary, of course, Steven Mnuchin, a former Goldman Sachs executive, someone with ties to the Hollywood community as well. And then, of course, Gary Cohn, another senior top Goldman Sachs official being selected to be the chairman of the National Council of Economic Advisors. So a lot of folks with business experience, he said frequently when he was campaigning that that is what he wanted. Of course, the left is trying to frame this as that these are people who are too big business friendly. But, you know, this is the type of pick and these are the types of picks and the type of selections that a lot of folks in the business community here in Washington are quite excited about and feel that he will lead to deregulatory financial policy that, of course, they argue will help grow the economy and free up some capital to let banks start lending and, of course, spur economic growth.
Are these picks that he's announced that Trump supporters are behind, or they just don't care or what?
That's a really great question. When I was on the Thank You Tour the other week in Cincinnati, I just had conversation after conversation with all of the voters inside the stadium, and I asked them that. And I can tell you that for some of the picks, this was at a time when Romney was leading for Secretary of State, they were very apprehensive. But for others, they thought, you know, hey, let's wait a second. Let's see the team that he's going to assemble. They believe that he's going to hire the best. That was a large part of his appeal for his supporters, that he knows how to surround himself with the best people. And they're giving him the benefit of the doubt. And to your latter point, I think we in Washington obsessed over a lot of these folks, particularly at the less flashier positions, but outside of Washington, they're too worried about taking care of their families and their own jobs for the holidays than some of these other picks.
Yeah, it plays a little differently in Peoria, I guess. Kevin, thanks a lot. Bloomberg's Kevin Cirilli. You could read more about this story on Bloomberg.com or the Bloomberg Terminal. And a reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1, 105.7 FM HD2. Guess what's next? Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keenan, David Gura. David joins us now. What's coming up?
John, we're going to pick up right where you guys left off, where you and Kevin left off. Admiral James Tavridis is going to join us. He was rumored to be reportedly on that list of potential secretaries of state and has met with the president-elect recently. We're going to talk to him about what president-elect Donald Trump is looking for in a secretary of state. Final Guy is also going to join us as well from Oppenheimer, someone who knows the oil business. We'll talk about OPEC.
Oh, was something going on with oil?
Yes, OPEC and non-OPEC. He also knows Rex Tillerson, who's in the running for secretary of state. We'll talk to him about that as well.
David Gura, Tom Keen, Bloomberg Surveillance, straight ahead. S&P Futures ahead of the market open on Wall Street. Right now, down 2 points. This is Bloomberg.